Community Connections at CKMS. Local sounds, thoughts, passions, and success. Celebrate local. Your neighbor's got a story to tell. Community Connections at CKMS.
Happy Friday, Waterloo Region. It is the 18th of November. There's snow on the ground, and it looks like it's here to stay. And in another unprecedented development, we have Loontown back in the studio with us today. Got something to play for us?
Good afternoon. Yeah, we've got a few songs.
Go ahead.
This is a song called Great Sorrows.
Loontown, Dave Calamati and Danielle
Savage.
Danielle Savage. Also in the studio is Nick.
Hello, Bob. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Great to have you all back. This is an unprecedented development. I've occasionally had bands come back in the studio for a repeat performance, but never in the same month. Never mind 10 days apart. So
this is a rare occurrence.
Last time it was just Dave, so yeah. Here we are, 3/4 of the band.
It is great to have you all back.
Thanks.
Thank you. So you've been on tour. You've been roaming about the province and Quebec too.
That's right. Yeah. We went out to Montreal and back, and we have a show tomorrow in Sarnia, hopefully, weather permitting. Mm-hmm. And it's been a fun tour.
Yeah.
It has been. And did it go as expected?
Yeah. I mean, maybe exceeding expectations. Like, you never know how these things are going to go, but most of the rooms were pretty full. We had a great turnout in Ottawa, and a great show here locally and in this very building. It was
right
great.
Right upstairs from here.
Yeah.
The Kitchener welcome was very warm. It was nice to be here.
Yeah.
Good. Good to hear that, because I've been enjoying your music for a while, and, you know, it's about time other people got a chance to do so in person.
Yeah.
And you've just played Great Sorrow, which is what you ended the show with back on Monday a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds fuller vocals.
Much better with two people singing. So.
It does. Yeah, the interplay is an important part of this song for sure. And Danielle and I wrote it kind of together, the lyrics together. I wrote the chorus, or I guess the middle section. It's not really a chorus. And Danielle wrote the lyrics for the first and ending parts. And you actually see at the end the interplay between competing vocal lines, because we couldn't decide on what they should be, so we just sang them both at the same time.
And I voted that we keep them separate. I really pushed for, like, it's kind of neat to have something that's alighting.
It's interesting, because initially it took me by surprise, even though I knew it was coming, because you'd warned me about that the last time you were in. Mm. And yet it still caught me by surprise, so it made me pay extra attention.
Right on.
So there you go.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So this collaboration then was both of you working on the same song but different bits of it.
Yeah.
Is that pretty standard operating procedure? Because I understood that each of you would probably take one of the songs and, you know, develop it and then put it on the album. And so each one of you would have something on the album that's mostly exclusively yours.
We do have songs that are like that, but it's been more fun to share that process. I don't think any of us have ever done that before. We're each songwriters in our own right. And so it's been really interesting to share that and kind of toss stuff back and forth. Often someone will come with just a harmonic structure, somebody else will add a melody, somebody else will add a bass line, and we just toss it back and forth until it completes. So yeah, it's been really fun.
Mm-hmm. And you had a whole album out of that.
Yeah,
it's a long album too. I finally got a chance to listen to it after Dave had left.
Yeah,
and it's like 45 minutes of music.
It is, I know,
which is good.
And that's pared down. We were working on 20 songs and we reduced it to 12, just, you know, yeah, for the sake of brevity. So
you don't get that much anymore. A lot of people are just releasing EPs, you know, 4 or 5 songs and putting them out as a bundle, and that's it. And then you got to wait another year for the next EP to come out.
Yeah,
that's true.
So does this mean you have to wait 3 years for the next Boomtown?
Well, hopefully not. No.
I hope not.
Yeah, this isn't the proper strategy in terms of internet these days, but we just had a concept and wanted to finish, like, flesh it out.
Yeah.
And then you were also releasing individual songs before the actual album came out.
Yes, yeah, we did 4 singles in the lead up. Yeah.
Got a couple of those in advance, so.
Yeah.
Those got lots of airplay. And
right
now the whole thing's on there, and it's already played through at least once, because I made sure that happened.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's good to hear. Actually, I put your songs that you perform in studio on the air as well.
Oh, great.
So we've got some exclusive music.
Yeah.
Only to be heard on CKMS FM in Boomtown.
Awesome. Bootleg.
Yeah. Happy to contribute.
Yeah. There's been some bands that have actually used some of those recordings and put it on their Bandcamp sites and stuff. So,
awesome.
Yeah. What is coming up now then for composition stuff? You said you had some stuff in the can already for an upcoming album for future stuff.
I mean, we do have like 8 songs that didn't make this record. So we have a huge catalog of stuff that has not been recorded yet. But we haven't immersed ourselves in the writing yet for a new record. We're really focused on learning how to play these live right now.
Oh, yeah, because this is the first time you've all been together to be able to get to perform together.
Yeah, yeah, we played for the first time as a band, like, on last Sunday, I guess.
Except
like
for
when we rehearsed.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was interesting to see it all come together and try and make an arrangement that we can actually perform live. So, yeah, it was good.
And it's just stuff from the album that you were performing?
And a couple songs from the last EP.
Oh, from the last one, too. Okay. Yeah. And those 8 songs that you mentioned there, Nick, they didn't make it to the album. What's wrong with them?
That's a great question. A couple of them just weren't as fleshed out. Like, definitely some of them were just kind of like 2/3 of the way there. There was one in particular that we were like almost there on, and we just decided it didn't make it. And then some of them, it was more conceptual. They just didn't fit. We drew a map of Loontown as we were doing this, and we just decided that like these were the ones that fit the concept best. And so we actually have a concept for some of these other songs where they would be like almost like the edge of town, kind of, is something that we've talked about, that they're songs like on the outskirts of Loontown.
Yeah.
And so some of these songs fit a little bit on like an... there is actually a song called The Edge of Town that might make this. So it's a little bit of like outside of the dimensions of this, so and we have a second song about ice cream that didn't make it. Because
two ice cream songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
We really like ice cream.
There's a sweet tooth in this band.
Having a quick look at your website here, which is the illustration of Loontown, floating island in space, which is pretty spectacular. And the album cover is interesting as well, a giant bird with organic-looking buildings on it.
It's also a different realization of the town itself, kind of flying through space, and the four bird-like things beside it are the band members.
I needed that explained to me, so thank you.
It's not,
we did
it's
too, actually.
Self-evident.
Who does your artwork?
Oh, Davide De Saro, our friend and a great artist in his own right, and Andrea Kosu also worked on realizing the 3D aspect of it, and then Liam Brown did the coding for this website.
So it's like a collaborative experience for the album art as well as the album contents.
Yeah, totally. It's been collaborative all the way through. And, you know, we just actually shot a music video this week in Montreal, and it was totally collaborative at every level as well. Just people putting everything into it, making costumes, and
goodness. Fun. So that must have been a big production. That's what did you put on the video? What are we looking forward to?
In the music video? Well, it's kind of a... Basically, there's the Loontown world, and then there's this beast's world, and we get sucked through a VCR into this other world. Maybe I won't say more until it's out.
But it's kind of like a journey between two realities.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's going to be set to our song Silver Flowers. I think we can say that.
Yeah.
Silver Flowers. Okay. Is that something you've got in your repertoire for today?
We can't really play that acoustically.
It's very beat driven. It'd be sad to do it without our drummer.
We would love it if you feel like spinning that one after. That would definitely be a good choice.
Well, we can certainly do that.
Yeah.
Have a quick look here. We have our online digital library, which is full of Loontown music. And so in the Slow Space album, I'm looking for Silver Flowers.
That's right.
This is Loontown, the album.
Flashing, it's all pure in its world.
I'm very glad you said just now, it's going to end very abruptly right here.
Yeah, it comes quickly, that one.
Now I was prepared for it. At least I thought I was prepared for it. Very, very rhythmic. And the basis for the video coming up. And I was just remarking that. It's not a steady rhythm. It's a very staccato. I don't know what... You tell me what that kind of syncopated beat is called.
Yeah.
Well, we actually... Like, there's the beat, and then on top of that, Nick and Millie prepared some piano, so they muted the piano strings and did kind of like a... It was a 4/3 on top of it, so there's some polyrhythms happening on top of the drum texture, so it's a little off-kilter, you know?
It sounds great.
Thanks.
And it's the kind of thing that I think I can tap my foot to, but then I'm wrong.
Yeah, if you're listening to Millie, our drummer, you can definitely tap along, but you might get the sense that you're doing it wrong. But
yeah, because the bass is also aligned a little bit differently.
Yeah, well. The bass is playing like on the 16th, like it's not playing on the beat, it's playing slightly off the beat. So,
and you can all keep together in spite of this.
Somehow. We did have to practice a little.
Yeah, yeah. It takes practice. Oh, wow.
It's, yeah. It's incredibly complex and very good. So,
thanks.
Yeah. Planning other videos in the future?
Danielle's been dreaming only of new music video concepts since we shot that one last week.
Yeah, it was so fun to make, and it gets your mind turning. So we really hope to. Yeah, we're going to keep things in the works.
Let's give a shout out to Kristen Brown and her crew, Simon and Shantae and
Jude.
Yeah. Claudia.
And Claudia. Who,
and Ariane.
Yeah,
and Ariane. Yeah, a whole bunch of people worked on this video. Wow. And just gave so much time and energy and enthusiasm. Like, they were 14-hour shoot days. And
it was
beautiful.
Yeah. We recorded in two different spaces. One was our friend Mikey, his place that he shares with his partner in Montreal, in Hochelaga. And then, I don't know, an anarchist co-op space. What are they called? The La Shop, also in Hochelaga. And, very generous people that allowed us to use their space. So.
Till very late at night.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, three in the morning both nights. So.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine that. Yeah. You know, music is complex, the videos want to be complex, and the number of people that you've got involved in that.
Yeah.
I sit here in the studio usually by myself, and you know, that's how I figure everything works, but I guess that's not the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think probably most of us used to do it that way too. I used to write songs alone, you probably did too, and it's nice to engage in the collaborative process as well. Yeah. It's a whole different entity.
Is that what the recording studio is like, Tim? Yeah. Dozens of people around making it happen?
No? Yeah, but we did have a pretty big team, and they're pretty local, actually, the team we worked with on this. We recorded the instrumental tracks at Annie McGoffin's studio in Preston, and our producer, Lisa Conway, was there with us, and then we did vocals in her studio, and we had a couple other people come in and out. Our friend Brody Conley plays on the record, and it's definitely a decent-sized team.
Mm-hmm. But you're scattered all over Canada. When do you plan on getting together again? And isn't that somewhat unorthodox?
Unless you're the postal service, you know?
Yeah, we're actually getting together in 2 weeks again to play some shows where Danielle is currently based in BC. So that'll be our next leg. And then probably the spring or summer. We're looking at some spring or summer tour dates and hopefully write some more music between now and then.
Yeah, so far we've managed to get together at least a few times a year and spend a month here and there, either rehearsing or recording or playing, and so we're just gonna keep doing that.
Yeah, because usually you hear, you know, the band loads everything into a van and goes driving for a few hours overnight and then arrives at the next spot and does the show there.
Yeah,
but you can't do that.
So. Well, that's what we've been doing this week.
Yeah.
From here.
Yeah. I guess it's coming up again in a couple of weeks too.
To
do that out in BC.
Yeah,
it's almost like we have four hometowns. It's that we get hometown audiences in four different cities. It's actually it's actually a marketing strategy.
Yeah.
It would be easier to live near each other.
For sure.
And we all wish we could play every week together. Dave was just referring before we arrived here of like, well, when they leave, I'm going to need to find some people to hang out with.
Yeah. Well, Nick's actually been playing Loontown songs. Well, we all have to a certain extent with our local friends.
Yeah. This actually the next song we're going to play, I've been playing with friends in Whitehorse for the last couple of years. And so it's had various iterations and interpretations of this one's called Party at the Ice Cream Shop. And I played it at like a pandemic gig in 2020, and my friends afterwards were we went out to like hang out afterwards, and they were all kind of competing about what the song was about, like putting forward different philosophies.
Yeah. Party at the Ice Cream Shop is one of the first tracks that we got from the new album. So that's been at the top of the list for a while.
Great.
Nice. Yeah, it's a fun one. It's a sing-along.
Yeah.
Shall we?
On tap here?
Yeah, let's join into it. Okay. Dave is on guitar.
You're doing a great job, Nick.
Thanks.
Haven't seen much of your face lately. That's all right, love. We've both been busy. You pick me up and you greet me, hey baby. Don't bat an eye that I'm dressed like a lady. You put your arms around me as we roll into town. Kiss me on the cheek and flash that easy smile. You get me going and the night's just started. I'm feeling ready for the party at the ice cream shop. Party at the ice cream shop. Many flavors tempt you hot. Dreamy, creamy, caramel sorbet. Minty, mocha, strawberry. As you make your way over to me with our drinks, and I think the whole town's in the room. The sweat drips down our faces. The DJ cranks the tunes. We cheers to Pam.
Who's Pam?
She's just moved back again. I live for nights like this.
When no one talks parties.
Shoulders sway.
Side to side.
And we all feel okay. Give me your hand.
I'll hold you near.
And pass the time. Close your eyes.
Feel the high.
It's party at the ice cream shop. Party at the ice cream shop. Many flavors tempt you hot. Dreamy, creamy. Caramel sorbet, minty, mocha, strawberry flambé.
Once more,
party at the ice cream shop. Many flavors tempt you hot. Dreamy, creamy, caramel sorbet, minty, mocha, strawberry flambé.
You're right, that's excellent, and I really wanted to sing along with that.
Yeah.
You should.
No.
It can be a four-part.
A live sing-along.
That was great. So where did that come from? How did you develop this song?
That one is a full co-write with the three of us. Dave arrived with like a 10-second beat, like something very, like, very succinct, and then I went and sat down with it and wrote the verses and then passed it along to Danielle. So it was like Dave wrote an idea, I took it, then passed it along to Danielle, who wrote that killer chorus.
Yeah.
And then that was pretty much the song, was those three parts. And then when we were going to the studio, we fleshed it out, so extended it, and we wrote a brass part that Andy put down on it, and then our friend Brody wrote some guitar on it. So kind of just like everyone added their flavor. And when Millie joined us for the rehearsals as well, like created the drum beat from it as well. Yeah.
Many flavors, like minty, mocha.
Caramel.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds great. And when you're developing a song like this, you said you were performing with some other musicians, Nick, in Vancouver, and you've been performing occasionally here, Dave. And do you perform solo too, Danielle?
I do, yeah.
And when you do that, do you take the songs that you've developed as Loontown and try them out on an audience?
A mix, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd like to
do that increasingly.
I think I saw a look of horror on Danielle's face.
Yeah, Danielle has a lot of her own music as well.
Yeah, and but I would like to play more. I'd say Nick has probably performed live Loontown songs more than the rest of us, but it's certainly something going forward that keeps us practicing and involved in the project.
Yeah, and my practice is very collaborative, and so that's part of it, is like any song that I play is necessarily a co-write, and so I'm always playing stuff that someone else has worked on, which is kind of fun, and, you know, yeah. It's also, like, I think getting out of the shyness of it, of being like, oh, we wrote this together, but, like, I can still play it.
Right. Yes, yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah. So that's what I was afraid of, that might happen. You know, there's this proprietary sense of I own this song, or Dave owns this song, and I, Nick, can't play it because it's Dave's song. Or,
yeah. You know. So far, I feel there's just a general, like, we're happy when we play the songs, and there's a generosity to that. And I think maybe that's an advantage of collaborating on pretty much all of the material, is we're not so precious about it. Like, it feels personal and we're attached to the results, or I am, but it's also all of ours. And it's kind of nice and almost a relief to share in that, because I feel like with my own stuff or one's own stuff, sometimes you get more, I don't know,
precious,
proprietary about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And something that people kind of talk about hush hush, but I think is a good thing to talk about openly, is like rights and things like that. And like we have decided thus far to just share everything equally,
regardless of what happens in the process.
Yeah. So even if it's a song that Dave worked on more, we're sharing it equally. And that, like, when it comes to the record, it's not like we're not like fighting, like, oh, I want to put another song that I own more of. And it makes it really generous. It's like, oh, if I contribute a lot to this song, it's great. And if I don't contribute as much on this one,
it's not going to be Lennon McCartney, and then Ringo just gets the shit shot.
The Glitter Twins is what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, and it's true that, like, we work different amount on different songs, and it might change in the future. But if you start getting really particular about, like, oh, I only put in 15% on this song or something that, like, it gets weird.
Logging your hours or something.
Yeah, it feels gross.
And then the rights organizations will want that breakdown, so it's probably much easier for the administrative work if you can just say it's all of us.
Yeah,
totally. It's split.
Yeah, it saves everybody a headache, and it's more fun.
And realistically, like, you can even, you know, James Brown's music, was it really James Brown that wrote that breakbeat? No, you know, like, a drummer wrote that song in the context of James Brown's band, for example, you know, but James Brown didn't write that beat, and the drummer doesn't get any credit for that, you know. So the song is not, like, sure, I wrote the chords for this, maybe, or Nick wrote the lyrics, but the song comes together as a result of that group, right, you know, everybody putting it out.
We go the route of generosity. I think, like, if you get picky about things, and, like, I think people want to give more if everyone is credited and everyone feels like they have a piece of it.
Yeah, because we're just doing it for the pleasure of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how does that go out beyond Loontown, beyond the band? Do you object to people sharing Loontown music without going through the royalty route?
It's unavoidable that people are going to do that, and I feel like, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure your thoughts about that.
I mean, yeah, I think the more people that hear it, the better off we are. And of course, yeah, you would like royalties so that you can keep doing it and live a life of full-time music. Like, that's the goal always, but beyond that, I'm not, I don't feel like...
It's probably going to come from touring and merch, I think. I don't think you're going to get it from streaming royalties.
Yeah.
You know, like a fraction of a penny per play. So.
Exactly. It's a different landscape now anyway. So I personally don't feel too attached to it.
Yeah. And my thinking about this kind of stuff is, as long as it's from the same ethos of, like, sharing, then it's great. Like, if someone plays a cover of our song, like, that's a great thing. But if their aim is to profit off of it, then that's a different aim. You know, if they're like, if they do profit off it and share it, great. But yeah, like, it's really great to have other people play your music.
It's almost a Creative Commons approach.
Yeah. Yes. And so that's a really good observation. Is your music licensed as Creative Commons for sharing, or is it actually licensed with all rights reserved?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. We've been doing this all kind of on the fly. I think we have put, like, we haven't really registered it anywhere intensely, but I think so far we've just put, like, Loontown on stuff,
yeah,
like,
copyright
Loontown. Yeah. But, like, I mean, we'd be super open to sharing it with people if they want to, you know, if they want to play it.
I think the important part is kind of a relationship, like, with, if you're going to share something, that to develop a relationship with those people, like, that becomes the exchange, or part of the exchange. Yeah. Like, don't, if you've never spoken to us, don't use our music.
Drop us a note.
I'm sure, because I don't know. I definitely have a, like, I want to avoid a scarcity mentality about stuff too. Like the Stevie Wonder version of Gangster's Paradise is like equally valid as the other one, the 90s one.
Like Weird Al Yankovic?
No.
Coolio?
Coolio.
Yeah. Coolio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Those are both valid in their own right, and they're not. Yeah, there's more than enough to go around, I guess.
So there are some artists who deal exclusively with Creative Commons licensed music, and they don't seem to suffer for it. You know, they seem to be doing just as well as people who do all rights reserved, because I think the public that's listening to the music doesn't care one way or the other.
No, totally.
Yeah.
And as Danielle said, the goal is for us to be able to continue to make music. It's not anything beyond that.
Yeah. So. But it would be nice to do this full time, because you're all not doing this as a full time gig. You've got day jobs.
We're all doing music full time.
Yeah. In some way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But not this project.
Yeah, like Dave is a music teacher. Nick owns a record label. I'm doing various other like sound installation stuff. Millie's a full time drummer. So yeah, this project isn't the only thing, but we're all doing music related jobs full time.
Ah, okay. So that's a good take on it, because you know, some people pack boxes during the day and then go out and play guitar at night.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
We've all done that too. Just to be clear about that, I specifically cut boxes at Staples for a year.
And I still, like, in the lean months, I'll go out and take any odd job I can get to fill in the gaps, of course, but more or less we're all full time.
I worked at DPL Packing in Cambridge, Ontario, between semesters of school, and put shaving cream into boxes.
Oh, yeah. Been many jobs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta do whatever
it
takes.
I can't list my jobs here.
Yeah. I will take the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Does the music portion of your life, I mean, aside from the music that you're doing, not as Loontown, but is the Loontown portion of your life increasing? Do you see this becoming a full-time gig in a year or two?
I mean, this couple weeks, like this month effectively, is a Loontown month, like all of November. And so I don't know that we can do this. Kind of with the long distance thing comes intensives. So it's kind of like we take little breaks or we work kind of here and there. But I definitely can imagine more months like this in that sense. Like maybe next summer if we play festivals or shows and do our next album. So it would be nice to do more rather than less.
Yeah. And it feels like there's been a steady increase over time. And we'll just see where that leads, you know?
Yeah. Well, hopefully it leads to more music.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Got something else?
Yeah, let's do Black Crow next, maybe. Just to make sure. So we're just going to do a little seat swap since we do have like the microphone in a specific spot. And Danielle's going to play guitar and sing on this one, or lead sing.
Yeah, let's move this.
Okay, great. This is some on-air shuffling brought to you by Loontown.
Better than it was last time that Dave was in, because we had some crackly microphone. I'm hearing some crackling now, but I think it's just in the headphone box over there.
Yeah.
So hopefully the music is all sounding wonderful when it goes out over the air.
And Dave can mix you a bit while you start playing.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we starting?
Yeah, do you want to tell us about this one, Danielle?
Not really. But I could. This song is for all teenagers that are struggling or having a hard time, and it's about one teenager that I knew a long time ago who had a particularly difficult life. And if you can be a friend to those teenagers, you should. This is for you, teenagers. Thank you.
Danielle Savage and David Kalanita with Black Crow. Lovely. Very lovely.
Thanks.
Yeah, that one's interesting because the recording came out much different than that, but that's what...
Yeah, that's the acoustic, like, original version of it, but as a band, there's a lot, it builds a lot more, and it's, we always miss our drummer when she's not here.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed that the guitar has been restrung. I heard some of the of your fingers sliding along wound strings.
Mm.
And so David explained that he had nylon strings on there last time, and I think it's the same guitar.
Same guitar, still nylon.
I think they're still nylon, yeah. Nylon. They might be brighter in some way, okay. But yeah, same.
Okay.
Same guitar.
I love that sound, and you're changing your position on the fretboard there. Sliding along the strings, and I just like how that goes.
Mm.
Yeah, the incidental, accidental sounds of making music.
Yeah. Do you play that as a lead-in song or as an exit song or just someplace in the middle of your sets?
So far it's been more in the middle, I think. Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's one of the upbeat tunes for sure when we're playing it live.
Yeah.
It has a really big
build. Has more of a metal tinge.
Yeah.
Okay, because it sounded so folky and mellow and not at all funky or
yeah. Well, you add some electric distortion guitar and some drums, and it kind of becomes a different song. Yeah, and then synth.
I have to listen to the album again because it's different on there, is it?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the beauty. We're also leaning into like seeing like what a song lives as, you know, just like the structure of a song. And the set in Sarnia we're playing tomorrow is going to be more electro poppy. So we're just like interesting how different songs can live in various universes in a way too.
Same songs but different arrangement or different songs.
Just embracing who's there and what instruments are there at the time.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. The exit strategy was more the poppy stuff, wasn't it? Or the brighter stuff. The not quite sure how to phrase that, but it was different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to the whole album again last night, like not Exit Strategy, but Slow Space.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't what I was expecting from having listened to Exit Strategy.
Yeah, well, hopefully the next one will be different too. We love playing with genres. We're all coming with different influences and genres, and I don't know. I think we all enjoy that aspect of it.
Okay. So how do you know today that the Sarnia show will be different from the Ottawa and Montreal and the Kitchener shows.
Well,
we're down Millie, so
yeah, no drummer, so that's a big starting point.
But actually, our demos throughout the process of like writing these songs, the demos we wrote drum parts using a drum machine, and so we're just kind of going to bust those back out and kind of see what those sound like in this context. Millie did a great job of using those demos and creating actually playable drum parts on them, but she mentioned, and I think anyone who listens to the album who's a drummer might notice, that some of the drum beats are a little odd, like they're not what you would expect, and I think that's because non-drummers wrote a lot of the parts, and Millie realized them on the recordings, but they're a little odd.
Yeah, and like a big difference between Exit Strategy and Slow Space actually is that Exit Strategy took form all at once, kind of like we were writing and took that into the studio, and some of the songs like emerged in the studio with Danielle joining us once the sessions had started, and we recorded like the first version of all those songs.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Slow Space, some of these songs have had like 3, 4, or 5 versions, and we wrote them all, chose them for the record, and then we kept reworking them, and so the songs have kind of existed in different formats, and the actual structure of the song has changed along the way too.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you need to re-record them all and put out a new development.
Yeah, in a way.
Yeah, like a B-sides version.
Yeah.
A demo version would be really funny.
Yeah.
Like putting out the electro-poppy.
That would be fun, actually. Yeah. I think it also was, I think I mentioned this last time when you mentioned the acoustic guitar when I played them, some of the songs on the last show, that like, oh, it sounds different than the record. And to me, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that's true. But I did write most of the songs that I wrote on this guitar. So I think that did influence the record, just us being all separate and writing songs. I guess we were all in the same space for parts of the record or the writing process, but we did write kind of on a guitar or like on a keyboard and then bring them mm-hmm. together rather than all being in the same room, seeing what it sounds like, being like, let's play that again, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you're swapping audio files back and forth to do the collaboration mm-hmm. when you're not together, that's got to take a lot of extra time, and there's a chance you lose that creative spark that you had waiting for the others to get around to listening and contributing and sending it back to you.
Yeah, except we didn't really do a lot of waiting. It was just like the files are there. If someone felt like contributing, if they want to finish the whole song, they're free to. It wasn't kind of like, oh, gee, could you put some lyrics on this? I'm just going to wait around until that happens. We all just kind of had this shared repertoire and worked on it, and then at a certain point spent a month together and worked on arranging and structural stuff person. So
There was kind of enough material going around that if you worked on something and then, you know, like hit your end point, you just choose another of the 20 songs in the folder and go for it.
It was kind of
a free-for-all.
We did do a couple actually like distance residencies, we called them, where we like took a week and like every day outside of our daily existence we would spend time writing together.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Which was really helpful, because just knowing that somebody else is also doing the same thing that you're doing, even if you're not physically in the same space, we just called each other and we're like, oh yeah, what do you want to work on? And I was thinking this, and so increasing the feedback loop in that way.
Yeah.
Swapping back and forth between working on different songs, doesn't that require a huge mental readjustment? I can't imagine working on one thing and then suddenly saying, well, that's enough of that, and let's move on to something different, which is similar but not the same.
Yeah, I think we all have different ways of going about that. I personally can get obsessive at times, and then other times, like, routine is really important in creative process, and I think that we underestimate that sometimes. Like,
really?
For me, it is important to set time aside, and if nothing happens, that's okay. And so there's definitely sessions where I was like, I wanted to work on this and my brain wasn't there. And then other days mm-hmm. where I'm in something and I can just go forever because mm-hmm. I just want to develop something. But I think it's just setting that time aside, and sometimes things work and sometimes they don't. You know, sometimes you're just like banging at something for a long time and nothing emerges.
Yeah.
But I kind of find that when I'm in a creative space that I can work on anything, you know? Like,
totally. Yeah. Well, and it's kind of like working alone in a sense, where I find there's some songs you sit down and you might basically write 95% of the song in half an hour or an hour in one session, and you're like, where did that come from? And other times it takes years to kind of refine something until it feels good. And it's no different here. Like, sometimes you go in the zone and you just have a big session and that more or less becomes the song. And other times we all chip away at it for a long period of time and they're a little more unwieldy.
Yeah, like we all identify that something's not working, but we can't figure it out.
Yeah.
It's really helpful, though, because I think something that kills a lot of creative projects is kind of just getting things to the exciting, or like there's an exciting phase and then you're like three quarters of the way down, but you don't ever actually spend the last 25% of the song is the hardest.
It is.
Just
editing.
Just to like get it to be done, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I got this great idea and it is a good idea, but then you just... it's not that exciting to do the 25% more to finish it.
Yeah. There's a lot of ideas, people. I love ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that share of labor actually helps get there. Because on my own songs, I'm never going to do that last 25%. But when someone else gives me 75%, I'm like,
wow.
Whoa.
I have 100% energy for this 25%.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was surprisingly inspiring working at a distance. I wouldn't have imagined it as something I'd ever want to do. But with the right collaborators, I think it's totally worth it. Yeah.
Do you have other collaborators in your own hometowns that you do different work with? And how does that change?
Yeah, we all do, I think.
Yeah, I can. I work also on a chamber music project with someone, a cellist named Jane Chen, who also, it's also a distance thing. She lives in Victoria. And so that's been like a pretty collaborative thing. And then I have a project, a like electro hip hop project with Ashwin Frayne and Jake Plechny in Whitehorse. So that one is actually like in person. But Dave and I have been writing together for a long time,
mm-hmm.
In different bands. We played in a different band for a long time.
You played in a cover band in university.
Yeah, we used to write, Dave, we actually started writing chamber music together. We were like, we actually did this in an apartment we shared, where we would pass paper back and forth.
That's true, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. And Danielle, we can pass it to you.
Oh, yeah. And I'm doing a lot of installation art with a friend who's a sculptor, and I do the sound portion. There's sensors and stuff like that. There's these large-scale sculptures. So we work on that locally, like almost full-time sometimes. And then I'm also, playing with some local people, a fiddler named Jeff Andrew. And we also sometimes put together just bands for specific projects in the Okanagan Valley. So, yeah.
Wow. Wow. Sounds like there's a lot of music.
Yeah.
That we don't have in our digital library.
Oh, yeah, I can send some things over.
Oh, we'll send it, yeah.
Yeah, we'll send you some Millie's projects, too.
Oh, yeah, Millie plays
has great, is doing a lot of great work. Like, she's on tour right now with Pony Girl and is playing in Eve Parker Finley's band, with both great musicians from Ottawa and Montreal. And she has her own music as well. She's a jazz drummer, or that's how she trained. Although she revealed to us, which was exciting, she actually wants to be a rock music drummer. So that's exciting for us. But anyways, she has some great projects. We'll try and send it your way.
Excellent.
And Dave's playing with someone locally as well.
Oh, yeah. Allison Corbett, who we're actually going to play with tomorrow. I think I mentioned her last time, but yeah, I've been playing locally with her. She's great.
Yeah. Sounds good. Looking forward to receiving more music.
Awesome.
So that we can broadcast it out over the airwaves. That goes for anybody, actually. Anybody who's out there producing music, send it to CKMS at office@radiowaterloo.ca, and it'll go into the queue of thousands of messages to which I and the music director will get to eventually, honest.
And big shout out to like community and campus radios. Like, they are one of the places where interesting music is being played all the time. Every time I'm in a new city and I turn something on, I hear, like, it's obviously eclectic from show to show, and every station has its own mission, but I always stop, though.
It's always like, oh, that's something interesting, because you're flicking through, and it's like, oh, yeah, AC/DC, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then you're like, oh, what's this? This is really interesting, and it's always a community radio station.
Yeah. We were talking about that last time, too. We're very rich in community radio here in Kitchener-Waterloo.
Yeah.
You've got this station, CKMS-FM, the mother station, CKWR, and then the Conestoga station, CGIQ, and Midtown Radio, which is internet only. But I was listening to their show last night, an hour of solid KW content music, which is just wonderful.
Yeah, it's really special. And actually what we got, like Dave and I got one of our kickoffs on Radio Western on CHRW, doing a classical music show, which was really fun to just get to learn how to do this.
Yeah,
Western sends us a lot of CDs, actually. They do a lot of compilations there, I guess, and send a copy our way, which sticks on our shelf and hopefully gets into the library when somebody has time to
to do that labor
it over. Do you sell physical merchandise, physical CDs?
We ordered vinyl in May, and it did not arrive. So
it'll be ready in a few
it'll
weeks.
Be ready soon. Yeah. And if you want a copy of our vinyl and the amazing artwork that it comes with, order one online, and I will probably hand deliver it to your house if it's in Kitchener or any of these four hometowns that we represent.
Right. That's this is loontown.com.
That's right.
Where there's a button for merch.
Yep.
Yeah.
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 Good.
All the links are there too. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up. We're not great at selling things.
Yeah.
A little bit of time left. Do you have one more song in you?
Yeah, I think we were going to play Pick Up the Phone potentially.
Sure.
And we can swap mics again, Dave and I.
That's good.
Pick up the phone to hear your voice, and you hit me with the news. My heart is pounding, hands tremble, but I have nothing to say. What can we do now? From our ends of this broken world, the silence holds for far too long. Tears stream down my sullen face. I can't care for you now. You can't care for me. Can't care for you now. You can't care for me. It's been a year without you here, and I'm starting to feel fine. I walk the streets north of Rachel just to clear my mind. Why does the East Plateau remind me so much of you? Prime park, the time of day, your face floods my memory. Can't care for you now. And you hit me with the news. My heart is pounding, hands tremble, but I have nothing to say.
Nice again. It's Loontown in the studio, live on air performance. What is that called?
Pick up the phone.
Pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Gonna have to listen to the album again. Darn it!
Yeah, well, it sounds quite different with only one guitar. You know, so.
Yeah, that one's definitely a synth pop song on the record. So this is really fun that we played this for the first time last night in this version, and I really like it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's got really nice harmony, 3-part harmony there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's how do you write harmony? I mean, I have no clue on the songwriting process at all. So. Teach me.
It's mostly Dave. I'm gonna give it. Dave is like a natural born harmonizer.
Yeah, I think over time I've realized if there's one thing that I can do that others seem to not be able to do, it's write harmonies. I'm not sure. I think I grew up in a musical family, and I think like my parents were both actually music teachers, and being around a lot of choral music really helped a lot. I was in a choir. I was in the Cambridge Qantas Boys Choir as a kid. Ooh. And we traveled to England, to all the churches in England. And,
churches!
and, yeah, I think it's a difficult thing. I haven't figured, I'm a teacher, so I have thought about this a lot, but it's difficult to teach. And I think it comes to people differently. Essentially, there's like a sense of the underlying harmony that's happening. And it's like you're singing in a scale, is what technically you're doing. And it's a tough thing to describe. Yeah. Yeah.
What I can say from experiencing this with Dave is that there is a certain amount of like what your ear is picking up on mixed with the theory and then trying it out. We do a fair bit. It's not just like you write a harmony, it's right there. It's like Dave tries out different notes and is like, oh, actually this one doesn't quite lead properly to the next one. That's or true. Like the harmony isn't quite like, this is nice, but it's not actually the harmony that we want in this.
And we did spend that entire week in Whitehorse just doing harmonies.
Yeah, we spent a whole week doing it.
Come back here and start a show on doing harmony
and
teaching people how to do it over the air.
Sure, that'd be cool. Yeah,
it's been great having you back in the studio. When you're all together again, let me know, and we'll have you back for a third
on-air
live performance.
Thanks for having
me. Got something to play me out with, just a little bit, so I can talk over your beautiful music and
I'll pass the guitar
let people know that you've been listening to CKMS Community Connections for the 18th of November, 2022. We've had Loontown in the studio doing a live performance. CKMS Community Connections is a production of Radio Waterloo. It's sponsored by Radio Waterloo. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Contributing producers are Jeff Steger and Steve Todd, who wrote our opening theme music. And here's Dave Kalamita to play a little bit of music to take us out.